He actually commented on the Tosis here in Megillah, which you probably don't have in front of you, but I'm going to say over the Tosis so you will more or less absorb it without seeing it. Tosis discusses among the many issues that are found here in the Abdallah and Alas, but one of the famous issues, which is a halachic issue, is the issue of reading the Megillah both at night and in the morning. Now, I assume you're aware that there's no question that we have to do both. We read Megillah Sester at nighttime, and we read in the morning. But it's clear that the main reading of Megillah Sester is during the day, not at nighttime. At nighttime, it's Takanas Chazal. The Gemara says here, in the name of Yeshua Malevi, the obligation to read the Megillah at night and during the day, the Gemara calls two psukim. One, Tehillim Chafes, which was said by Esther on the way to the throne room of Ahasuerus, Elokai, Ekro Yoma Bolosane. Hashem, I call you during the day, and you don't respond. And therefore, Belayla, I have to call you again at nighttime. So that's one makar. The Gemara called the second makar, that you have to read the Megillah by night and by day, because it says, L'man Yizamecha, Chavo V'lo Yidom. I'm going to sing to Hashem, excuse me, and I won't be quiet. Hashem Elokai, Olam Odecha. These are the two makaros for reading the Megillah both by day and by night. Here the Gemara is using it to prove that you have to read the Megillah at night as well. So these two, of course, represent, as you probably understand, the Gemara is quoting two makaros that are markedly different. One makar from Til Chavez, which the Gemara has later on, is essentially the entire parak is almost, I would say, in some respects, full of melancholia. Because here Esther is on the way to the throne room of Ahasuerus. She doesn't know if Ahasuerus is going to respond to her affirmatively, whether he'll extend the scepter to her or not. And she's frightened out of her wits. That's the first pasuk. The pasuk seems to speak of doom and gloom. The second pasuk is one that we recite on a daily basis in Mizmor Shir Chanukah. It's a pasuk that seems to, Baruch Hashem, whatever the context of the parak is talking about, that's a big machlokes among the Rishonim. But it's talking about some sickness that David HaMelech hadn't recovered. But it's talking about other elements that were enemies that surrounded him. But at the end of the day, he is singing. And he wants to continue to sing. So that's a totally different kind of tone. A tone of song and dance and what have you. So how do you explain these two, shall we say, what seemingly contradictory, diametrically opposed ideas? So of course, what did the Rav answer? Tvei dinim. And that's the so-called comment of, it's known as the Ari HaKadosh, but it's actually came out found in Rishonim. Yom Kippurim. Purim and Yom Kippur have a lot in common. I mentioned it last night as well, on my own shot. But there's a commonality between Kippur and Purim in the following sense. Tvei dinim, two aspects of Purim. On the one hand, Purim is the day of, I mentioned last night, Kapara, Tshuva. On the other hand, there's obviously an element of festivity in the day. So these are the two elements that are embedded in the, shall we say, in the day of Purim. However, what I want to just focus on is the Tosfos on the bottom of Abdallah Amud Aleph, that he points out that there's no question make a Shehecheyanu, both, shall we say, at nighttime and during the day. The problem is, how do you make Shehecheyanu in the daytime? So the Rambam paskens, you don't make Shehecheyanu during the day, because it was already said the previous night. That's the position of the Mechaber. The Ramo says, and Tosfos quotes it here on the bottom of the page, Dalam and Aleph, the Ri says, no, you have to say Shehecheyanu, because what is the primary time to read the Megillah? During the day, not at night time. So of course you make a Shehecheyanu. The problem, of course, is that it's true the Megillah during the day was instituted by the Nevi'im, and at night it was established by Chazal. But again, it's the same identical performance. Why would you make a second? Why would you make the Shehecheyanu a second time? It would seem to be a bracha v'atal. So our salvation referred to a famous Gemara in Megillah and Daf Yudalah, which you're probably all familiar with, not just from Yudalah and Megillah, but from elsewhere. The Gemara is the Kasha over there. Why is there no Hallel on Purim? The Gemara has three answers, but one of the answers is very famous. I mean, they're all famous. One is, because the Pasuk says at the end of the Megillah, Vayasim HaMelech HaChashverosh Mas. So we're no longer, at least we thought we would be free. We're not free. We're still under the rulership and sovereignty of Ahasuerus. For Haraya, you have to pay taxes. How could you say hello when you have to pay taxes? That's one answer. A cute answer. Second answer, the Gemara says that the Neis occur in the Chutzaretz, and hallel is only said in an Neis that's in Eretz Yisrael. Also needs a lot of explication. But the third answer is the one that I'm interested in for now. The Gemara says, Kriyasa Zuhi Lula. You know why you don't say Halal? The reading of the Megillah itself constitutes a Kiyum of Halal. One of the many Kiyumim in the Megillah, when you read it, is Halal, because you're obviously engaged in Shevach Vodot, Hashem Yisbarach, namely, over the Nes that Hashem was responsible for in the context of the Megillah. And therefore, the Megillah reading itself comprises Halal. So according to this opinion, Kriyasa Zuhi Lula, by the way, the Mishabruah quotes from the Meiri in the Shaar HaTziyon, and Hilchos Megillah. Let's say I don't have a Megillah. So what does the Meiri paskin? I should say Halal on Purim. Which, of course, is quite a chiddush, a radical chiddush. Of course, according to that reasoning that the Gemara presents. But according to the last opinion that I just mentioned, Kriyasa Zuhi Lula, there are two mitzvahs that are fulfilled when I read the Megillah. One, of course, is Kriyasa Megillah. That's a takana. The Chazal had Midiv Kabbalah. But then there's also another mitzvah that's being fulfilled, the mitzvah of saying Halal. So as you say, but that's the explanation, then we can understand why we say Shechiyonu a second time. Because essentially, you know from the Mishnah Megillah, another Mishnah, namely, the din of Halal is limited to the day. It's a Mishnah on Daf Chof Amud Aleph in Masechet Megillah. There are certain things that can only take place during the day. Kriyas HaMegillah is by day. Mila, circumcision by day. A whole list of things that the Mishnah mentions, and guess what? Among the items that are included is, of course, what? Halel, the Mishnah of Chofim Avei, Kol Ayim Kosher, the Kriyas HaMegillah, the Kriyas HaHalel, the Shofar, Lulav, and on and on and on. There's a long list that the Mishnah has of Chofim Avei, and one of them is Halel. So that's why, every Yom Tov, when do we say Halel? In the morning, Shavuos morning, Pesach morning, Sukkot morning, we say Halel. There's one exception, of course. What exception is that? Pesach night. But that's part of what? Part of the Mitzvah Sibri Tzias Mitzrayim. Part of that Goda. L'fikach hanav chayav l'hodos l'halal shabeach. There we say Halal on Pesach night. But generally speaking, let me just finish this point. The Halal is said during the day. As a result, our Soleshi thought that the Shechiyon that's said at night time is a kind of hakdama, a kind of prelude to the Mitzvah of the Kriyas HaMegillah itself. While the second bracha during the day is a prelude to a different mitzvah, namely the kiyum of Halel. And as at nighttime, basically, what kiyum is being fulfilled? Kriyas HaMegillah. And during the daytime, what kiyum is being fulfilled? Halel. Mamela, that's the second Shechiyonu that's made on that second kiyum. Of course, the problem is, why do you need a Shechiyonu because of the Halel, the kiyum of Kriyas HaMegillah of Halel in the morning? I mean, nowhere else during the year do we find such a notion, such an idea. And of course the answer is that basically the Halel of Purim is obviously very different, because it's the only time that you can actually fulfill the mitzvah of Halel without reciting what? Those prokim and tehillim that Chazal basically set up for Halel. We know that Halel consists of prokim. There are several prokim tehillim that we say, and that's not what's happening on Purim morning. What are we doing on Purim morning? We're saying the Megillah. But that's a kiyum of Halel. So that's what we recite Shechiyonu, not because of the mitzvah of Halal per se, but because of the unique form of Halal on Purim in the morning. So this is a Chiddush Gadol that I heard from the Rav a number of times. He said over this Chiddush to explain the Shechiyonu, and this idea that the mitzvah of Halal is fulfilled through the reading of the Megillah itself, shall we say, is somewhat, to me, to my mind, very mechudosh. Because every other halal we know is said by reciting Prokem and Tehillim, as I mentioned a moment ago. So the question is, why Dafka Purim do we go ahead and I'm a kind of the mitzvah of halal through this Kriyas HaMegillah kind of modality? And that itself requires explanation, and here is where now I want to really enter into the main chiddush of Rav Soloveitchik. Yeah, what are you saying, Alice?
Yitzias Mitzrayim wasn't in Eretz Yisrael.
That is the question which the Gemara asks. So this, all these kashas, you have to learn that Gemara in the Yadalit. It's also discussed in the Mechilta, but the Gemara asks your kasha explicitly. Okay, you have to look in the sugya. It's a very famous issue that you have raised, and it's obviously a very important issue. I'll read the Lashon of the Gemara. Daf Yadalit of Adalit. Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Gam Neshe B'chutzar, Tzeichi Amrinon Shira. How could you say Halel? Kidatanya. Okay, the Gemara goes through this whole thing, and that's it. Well, if you look in the Gemara, if you don't mind, it's not my issue right now, but the Gemara is Takasha. So Soloveitchik began by discussing another very significant Gemara, which I've mentioned before, but I don't know if you're totally into that Gemara. You know that there are two types of halal. There's one halal which is called Psuga de Zimra, and there's another halal which is called halal mitzri. So halal mitzri is the one that we say every Yom Tov. What about Psuga de Zimra? That halal we say every day. The Gemara in Shabbos in Kol Kisve Es Stira, famous Stira, the Gemara actually points out that one statement is Kol Oma Halal B'Chol Yom HaRezim HaChareif HaMagadif. If I say halal every day, I'm guilty of chira v'gidav. I'm engaged in blasphemous behavior. On the other hand, the Gemara says that a second statement that it is praiseworthy for one to say halal on a daily basis. So how do you reconcile the stira between these two statements of Chazal? One that says it's chira v'gidav, and one that says that it's rotzit to say halal every day. The Gemara says no kasha. One refers to halal psuka de zimra. And what refers to halal mitzvah? The distinction being, obvious distinction, what do we say in halal every day of Psukah Dezimra? What are we praising Hashem? For the daily occurrences in nature. We're talking about photosynthesis, and we're describing the what I used to admire when I would see in Toronto, and I would be in my, shall we say, wintry clothing, blustery weather, and we would see the frost and the many, many inches or of snow. Kfor ka'efer yefazer. Mashlich karcho chafitem. Lifnei karoso miyamo. That's why I lived in Toronto. Of course, I left Toronto because I couldn't handle it. That's what it says. Lifnei karoso miyamo. Who could stand in front of the that wind chill minus 20 degrees. So I decided to move to Eretz Yisrael. But that essentially celebrates nature and natural processes, all the different seasons and the rain and the like. Mashen Kain, Halal Mitzvah, what is the primary thing? Me'alat Teva. All the supernatural, miraculous, metaphysical events that were performed by Hashem Yisbarach in the course of Levi Mitzrayim. Hashem basically intervened with nature. There's a very nice, actually, I saw a beautiful essay on that in the Sefer called Darash Darash Yosef. He actually discusses this element. That's called the Yerida of Hashem Yisbarach. That's considered to be a descent. That Hashem created the world, but that's not ever. He wants the laws of botany and biology and zoology. Those laws should be operative. And any kind of deviation from those laws is really a complete and total deviation from what Hashem Yisbarach wanted the way the world to run. That's called the Yerida. And Hashem, in order to get us out of Mitzrayim, had to literally descend. This is, by the way, Sodi Kabbalah, which is found very, very often. And the Ramban discusses in the Chumash and Vayigash, as mentioned by Sifrei of the Chachmei Asod, this idea of that Hashem, in effect, Ani Hashem Asherchi Nima Mesech Tumasa. Hashem has to descend into the Tumah. But that's a Yerida of Hashem Yisbarach. But the Yerida is in terms of what I just said now, namely the fact that the world is no longer operating without Hatema. Hashem had to create Nisim, Gluyim, and all types of old leaders all the way to Kriyas Yamsuf to get us out of Mitzrayim. So that's the Halel, which is called Halel Mitzri, because it's all the Malvi Dar Hatema. That's not the ideal Halel. The ideal Halel is that which we say every day over Teva. And those are the Psukim that Hashem, again, created. The way I hear, you can, I don't have to, the Tehillim is so beautiful, really, just simply, to my mind, Rabbi, maybe the most beautiful Prokem in Tanakh are right here. I just started before. Yishlach devaro v'yamsein. Yashe rucho yizul mayim. I remember in Toronto, I was always wondering how that hoarfrost is going to dissipate, how it's going to somehow, and then of course, little by little, the change of seasons, and suddenly the sun begins to melt the snow, and the warmth of the spring, and ultimately the summer, come to the fore. It's so amazing to watch Teva at work. And that is the way Hashem Yisbarach wants the world to operate, the nature is very powerful. And that's what basically the entire Pesuk of the Zimra is all about. So if a person says Halal Mitzvah every day, he's engaged in an act of blasphemy. What's he asking Hashem? To perform miraculous, metaphysical, supernatural miracles to appreciate his greatness. And that's the Yerida of Hashem Yisbarach. It's a terrible Yerida, a terrible diminution of the greatness of Hashem Yisbarach, which we certainly do not expect on an ongoing kind of basis. Now, why does Hashem do so when he has no choice? He has no brera. You know, our salvation was very fond of a medrash. He quoted it many, many times. It's actually quoted by Rishon, this medrash. I think it's in Shmos Rabbah. The medrash I recently took back my midrashim. And now I'm starting to learn that. Wow. They did some job. Those art scroll people. Wow. Superlative. I don't know how to describe it. I mean, I'm not joking. I wouldn't have bought it on my own, but the outstanding group of young men from Torah Shraga several years ago purchased it for me. Wow, what they did over there. Mind-boggling. I'm not joking. So now I'm learning it in Kesenga. So this medrash that the Rav used to quote, I went looking for it and I found it. Shmos Rabbah. The medrash describes the following. It says, Moshe l'koyin shenafla trumas l'beis ha'kvaros. The koyin, you know, the dinners are trumas to be eaten Bitara, and the only one who can eat truma, of course, is a kain. It's one of the mothers going to give it to a kain. But now the truma going into Beis HaKvaros. So there's a din that truma requires shmira. It's a Gemara in Shabbos. Gemara says that the shmira is trumosai. B'shtei truma sakos medaver. Achas truma tohera, achas truma tmei. Truma tohera has to be eaten. Truma tmei is burnt by the kain. Only the kain can actually be nana from the truma tmei that's being burnt from the, it's being used as, anyway, so the truma falls into a graveyard. So the kohen says, "Letami esatmi, I can't go into a graveyard. I'm not allowed. I'm not allowed to tell me myself. On the other hand, I can't abandon my truma. So what shall I do?" So the kohen says, "Mutav shatami esatmi pamachas. One time I'll go into the graveyard and, shall we say, take my truma out, and then I will go obviously and have to retire myself, and then I'll go back to my situation." So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Klal Yisrael, we are compared to Truma. Kodesh Yisrael Hashem, the Navi says, Yimiyo, Reshes Fuasa. Rashi quotes this at the beginning of Reshes, why the world was created, B'shul Yisrael, Shiniku Reshes, B'shul HaTorah, Shinikus Reshes. So the Pasuk says, Kodesh Yisrael Hashem, Reshes Fuasa. Truma is called Reshes Fuasa. How do we know that? The Pasuk in Shavtim. The Torah says, Reshes Digonecha, Ti Roshecha, B'yitzarecha, V'reshes Geis Tonecha, Titen Lo. We just had it recently in the Tzemach Melachos, that Mandala. But anyway, so, because I was looking into a sugya there. So the Hashem decided I have to go down to the Tumah Mitzrayim in order to save my Tumah. My Tumah being Klal Yisrael. So even though Hashem didn't want to be Matami himself, Mitzrayim is Tumah Matame, it's like a graveyard over there. Kain Bais Hashem Shomais, and I could have brought compared to a Kain. Well, because of us, he does it. So again, when Hashem has to intervene supernaturally, that's a diminution. That's the Yerida of Hashem Yisbarach. People tend to think, you know, the Ramban, the end of Pashas, well, you know the Ramban. The most famous Ramban in Chumash. One of the most famous. They're all famous. But one of the most famous Rambans in Chumash is the Ramban, the end of Bo, where he points out that people think that which miracles are greater? Nisim Gluyim are greater than Nisim Nistarim. Ramban says, a mistake, an egregious error. The Al Nisecho Shevichol Yom Imanu refers to what kind of Nisim? Chesky? Nisim Nistarim, those that Hashem does on a, shall we say, on a daily basis. The Rav used to speak about the flying nebula. And the stars that gaze, the constellations. It all worked out. Okay, anyway, but so the Lashon of the Medrash, I actually copied the Medrash down. Unbelievable Medrash. But the fact of the matter is that that's what Rabbi Yossi says, that not like the other one said. One said, I forgot who said what. He chalkim gaim v'hal v'chayim. Let b'chel be with those who say hal every day. That's only the hal of what I'm saying, the Zimra. But the other one said, v'hal v'chayim, you're v'chayim v'gadev. Why are you blasphemous? Because you're asking Hashem to do things that are mal me'ach ha'teva. That's a Yerida. It's a descent, it's a diminution. It's not Hashem, if you will, at his greatest, at the acme of his enterprises. So now, obviously, had we been on the proper Madrega, Hashem would have taken us out of Egypt through natural means, but we weren't. And then Hashem was compelled to go engage in all kinds of supernatural activity, go down into the tomb of Mitzrayim, and all kinds of Nisim and falls and the like. And he did so only because we were on the brink of Mem Teshari Tuma, almost total civilization, total acculturation. We would have been engulfed. We would have been, that would have been over. So, perhaps I'll let you know that the Yontem of Purim is fundamentally different from all other Nisim. Because all the other Yontem Tovim are based on what? Nisim Gluyim. No question about it. You love the Gemara Dafid Alfam Abbas. Kiba Sukkos or Shafti, whether it's Sukkos Mamish, Ranani Akovet, Machokos Tanoim. But that is certainly elements of, shall we say, Nes. Pesach is all Nes. Shavuos, wow, Matan Torah Abbas, may I forget about it. Purim is the Yom Tov of Teva. Everything is hidden. Nothing. When you read the Megillah, the Ibn Ezra points out at the beginning, Megillah says there, guess what is not found in the Megillah at all? Shem Hashem is not to be found. It's a natural occurrence. And that's exactly Tilim Chav Beis that the Gemara describes over here, Lamatzeach Alayelas HaShachar. And that's what she said. Chazal say that, of course, who is the morning star? A reference to Esther, Kaili, Kaili, Lama Zavtoni, Elokaya Koyom Losane, Vladimir Dumioli, that's what the Gemara says here. And here she's pleading with Ahasuerush on behalf of Klal Yisrael, the Gemara has over here in Masechet and Megillah. Again, she did not know what Ahasuerush was going to respond to her. Chazal actually pointed out here, the Gemara Megillah, that the moment he first saw her, he wanted to put her to death, because she has the chutzpah to enter the hidden chambers of the king, uninvited, the Gemara here in Megillah. But she thought that what, if she approached the king in a hesitant kind of way, gingerly, that would undoubtedly herald a supernatural event that would lead to the Yeshua of Klal Yisrael, just like Hashem did miracles. And here, Ahasuerus does not extend his sharvit, does not extend his scepter, and obviously she thought everything was lost. So right away, what did she say? Kedi, kedi, lama zavtoni. Hashem, why did you abandon me? Why did you leave me? And of course, the king, as you know, the Gemara calls him Melech HaPachfechad. You know what that means? He's full of caprice.
Bipolar.
What?
Bipolar.
I like that. Bipolar, in every sense of the word. Boy. So at that point, she's zochet to a miracle. He extends his shavit, and then she realizes, Yeshua Hashem, Kerafayim, this time they're going to be saved, but not through the usual supernatural means, but through natural kind of means. By the way, your Rebbe over there, our foreman Shlita, he also discusses this issue. This is also one of his issues, and he points this out, but it's a Yisod, that's MS, no question about it. And so now, I want to just share with you something in this Tesis that is remarkable to me. And there's a Tesis here, I don't know if you're familiar with the Halacha, you're probably not so familiar, it's not your fault, you're not Rabbanim. Rabbanim have to know all these Halachas, that's the problem. So because I became a Rav, so all of a sudden I'm stuck with all these Halachas. In a positive way, Chas v'Shalom. There's a practice regarding Kriyas HaMegillah at night time. Then we say, Hakel HaMoshiach, V'yom V'ato Kadosh, and then once we had the Megillah, Ein Maschil L'Vol Atzil, V'Shein Gula B'Laila. We don't say Uval Atzil. Normally we say Uval Atzil. We don't say it because there's no Gula Balayla. And it tells you here in Tesla Davdavod Aleph. But Absalvechik took this and pointed out that if you take a look in Tilim Chabbez, after what she said, Kaili Kaili Lamazatani, then you have the following passage. The Ata Kadosh Yoshe Tilos Yisrael. It speaks about Hashem who's, how do you translate this? Enthroned on the praises of Klal Yisrael. Now the word Kadosh, you know by definition, shall we say, what does Kadosh mean? Translate the word Ata Kadosh, V'Shim Chol Kadosh, U'Kadoshim B'Chom Yadlu Chasel, B'Ruch HaTashem V'Kal HaKadosh. Kadosh means Mufrash, Muvdal. What does it mean, Mufrash?
Separate.
When Hashem saves Klal Yisrael through natural means, He's a Kadosh, He's hidden, He's concealed. So, again, as I said, Esther, and that's how the Rav interpreted the Pesukim from Tilim Chav Beis, she realized that the Gula is going to come about through natural means. A natural kind of miracle, and it's not going to be supernatural, etc. It's going to be, if you will, through a kind of halal psukah de zimra, as opposed to the halal hamitzri, and that's exactly what is happening, of course, in the Megillah. Megillah is so, I don't know how to call it, mundane, is so cause and effect, is so natural, all kinds of plausible insights, very dramatic, very swashbuckling, big summer serish, you have conspirators, you have this Haman guy, you have clearly a king who's called bipolar, and he just gets rid of his wife because she refuses to bow down. You know, there's an older rav, in a very wonderful rav in my former shul, so he told me he has a beautiful voice. So he once said, I put him to me, jokingly. I thought he was joking. Then he shows me a girsa. We say at the end of the first paragraph of the Megillah, what is Achashverosh? She also made a mishteh, correct? And then Bayam Ashri, Ketovle Levelach Bayoin, he was good and drunk. Omar, Lohavi is Vashti Avalko, Lenea Mel Vachesim Achus, Laharo Soham Basar Vesiafia. She should show herself, of course, not in a tzanua way. Kitovas marehi. Vatemoin amalko vashti levo malavah Hashem yarasarisim. Vayiktov hamalach mo vachamaso barabo. He's just in a state of total indignation. Vayomel achamim yodei yitin. He consults the Jews, and they, of course, all of a sudden realize what they're dealing with. This caprice of this king, and they're not going to get involved here. Otherwise, they're going to be in a lot of hot water. Then, as a list, etc. Kedos malasol b'amakol vashti alasher lo asas ma'amah amelach hashvesh b'yad asorisen v'yomim memuchan levne amelach vasorim lo ala melech v'vado obiso vashti amalko ki al kol asorim kol amihim asher v'chol medino samelach hashvesh v'osh ki yetze dvar amalko al kol anoshim. What's going to be? They're all now going to, shall we say, show up their husbands, as you would say, la'avzos balehen v'nehen. Let it be written in the Chronicles, but they'll say, Faras Umadai, below Yomar, Asher Losovo Vashti. She didn't come because the king, whatever I, the husband, say, what should my wife do? Bow down, salami baloni. She should frustrate herself. And then on and on and on, etc. V'chol hanoshim yidnu yekor lebaleihem. I'll show them who's the boss. I am no head pet husband. I'm in charge. I'm running the show. She is servile to me. And that's how I'll show it. The Malbim says right here, he never saw such an insecure king in his entire life. Suffering from paranoia and bipolar qualities.
Wasn't his father like a barber?
Whose father? Haman. Please, you have to let me go by a few more times. What did she say to him? His father was a steward of a horse stable, Achashverosh. So what did she say to him, Vashti? You son of a horse stable man! After she told him, he said, you can't even hold your wine! You drunkard! You lecher! And therefore, he heard that, you can imagine. Off with your head! Guillotine! Bye-bye, Charlie! And a few moments later, after she's no longer gone, what happened to my wife? Bipolar, correct? That's he's got some bats in the belfry up there. A bit daffy. I would say so. Anyway, so back to Esther. So she's calling Yael Tashacha. The Gemara Yuma you're probably familiar with. Ma Yael Tashacha Sof Alayla Esther Sof Kol Anisim. Essentially, you know, how does dawn come about? That's a famous Gemara that those in Yeshiva Merkaz Arab, the very tough Gemara, that Kima Kima, the Gula is almost here, but it comes like the dawn. How does the dawn come? I don't know if any of you, maybe you probably don't do the things that I do. So sometimes I stay up during the night because I can't sleep. It's not my fault. And I am busy observing the approach of the dawn. which is a slow process. It's very slow, if you ask me. I remember on Shavuos night, we used to, when I was a little kid, so we used to stay up the whole night. But as Chatoya and Maskir, usually, where did I go on Shavuos night? I went to shuls that had the best eats. That's what I did. Alex, what could I do? That was not the same yet. I didn't really stay up for the learning. The food. I mean, the learning was also fine, but there was the chagav. What's the ikar? What's the tafel? It's good. The ikar is the food. The tafel is the learning. The pasha. So you had to go where the ikar is the ikar. So we used to walk all over the Bronx. We used to walk. There was one specific shul that had, wow. It's like over here, the poppers and the whole business. Anyway, so the... the point is that simply the entire Megillah is based on Pidur HaTeva, which is very, very unusual relative to other Yom Tovim. So if you take a look, actually, it's interesting that in the both the nighttime and the morning, we say Uvel Tzil, V'yata Kadosh Yoshe Tilos Yisrael, V'kar Zel Zev Yomar, Kadosh 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 Hashem Tzokos Melach HaLaretz Kevodo. And I don't know, I assume you are aware, we said this, excellent, that was beautifully done. Anyway, so here, no, that was, do you know that because of my Rebbe Gabe, we won the basketball championship?
That makes him.
That's right, he was also. Nachon, I'm sorry. Harab Michoel Shlita. Rab Ben Rab, he's going to become a Rav. Follows the Rav, he's going to become a Rav. But, and along the way, he's also a good basketball player. My Rash. They won the championship. Very well, yeah.
Did you watch the game?
I did not watch the game. I'm sorry to say. I was not privy to that. Maybe you'll show it to me. You probably have it on some sort of video, I imagine. No? Yosef? I kept telling Gabe that he keeps getting taller and taller, and I seem to be getting shorter and shorter. But apparently he's getting taller. That's what was happening. Wow. Torah Shvaga Championship.
And
hockey. I'm with it. I see. Oh, Hashem. Okay, where did I get up to? Oh, yes, in the Volotzion it says, Kaddish b'shmei meroma ilo b'shchintei. Hashem is the master of all kinds of things. What does that mean? How to translate this? Holy in the highest of heavens, home of his presence. I mean, it seems like the Chatzibah, he only controls that which is upstairs. He's totally detached. But then we say, Kaddish Alara, Ovad Giburte. He's also down over here. And essentially, Kaddish the Olam Omei Amaya. So the point I'm making is that this Vata Kaddish is not said on Pesach. It's only said Dafka and Purim. Doesn't go Dalet Amos without Gilu Rosh. Very volume. I'm sure there's a Chassidish Mice about that somewhere. Just don't know how you tell it. Okay, so again, let me just go back to the Megillah a little bit. Chazal say, when is the turning point of the Megillah? It's a Mishnah, actually. Balayla hu. No didosh nas hamelech. Some people raise their voice there. Some say hamelech refers to the Bereshit. I don't have that kind of Megillah. Some people have a Megillah where at the beginning of each column is hamelech. I have, of course, the Megillah of the Yom. So it has its own, shall we say, elements to it. I had it written especially for me. It was actually written for my chasana. I got married, and it was written by someone who's my brother-in-law, Shlita, who had to be a sofer then. He since went on to better things. But anyway, so the very beautiful Megillah I have, the Groz Megillah with the 11 lines, and a lot of other interesting illusion. Anyway, so the pasuk says, "Balayla hu nadash nas hamelech." The king couldn't sleep, but obviously, what was happening? A process that was being orchestrated from on high, from Hashem Yisbarach, and that, of course, was a slow process, a very natural process. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out something which to me was remarkable. The Gemara says in Megillah, also another Gemara, Megillah nikrei sefer v'nikrei sigaris. The Megillah is called the sefer, it's also called the nigaris. What's the distinction between the sefer and the nigaris? I think it's fairly obvious. What's the nigaris? The nigaris is a letter that's written, usually of a temporary nature. It doesn't really have eternal verities. A person reads a letter and then you discard it. What about a sefer? A sefer is something that obviously has eternal netzach qualities to it. So what is the nature of the Megillah Esther? The answer is Megillah Esther is a briska. It's both Igeret and it's a sefer. Now, the events that seem to be recorded here in the Megillah are of a natural nature. I mean, what's the narrative? You have all kinds of political intrigue. You have Ahasuerus. The rabbis compare this to Stalin, Lahavdil. I don't know if I say Lahavdil. Someone asked me, a Shana Hall student asked me today, why don't we say, we mentioned the Shoshana Siakov, I forgot how it goes now. Oru Haman HaShabikesh La'abdi. Why don't we say Oru HaShverosh? Come Kibikesh La'abdi. So I told him, because at the end, guess what? Who saved us? Ahasuerus. He turned out to be on the good side. But Haman is all evil. That's why. In Charbon, we mentioned, we got Charbon, Zohar Latif. ויום חרבון איך אמר עשו ויסים לפני המלך גם הנה איזה אשר עשו עבוד למרדכי היה שדיבר טוב על המלך עומד וסבון גובה חמישים אמר ויום המלך תלו עליו ויסלו אס הומו Thank you. Hello, it's a shame in the world. I back on a samela shoko. Anyway, so the Rav said that you have two aspects here in the Megillah. One is the Igeres, one is the Sefer. One is, and the Sefer, of course, is not simply, shall we say, a newspaper that you discover. The Sefer has eternal verities. It's a profound Sefer of Netzach that's also canonized. The Gemara has a discussion whether, as you know, Esther's Palikis HaKadosh, Matamis HaDayim, Namatamis HaDayim, we pass it, is Matamis HaDayim, we pass it, it was canonized, did become part of Tanakh, of the Chavdal Tzorim, and the fact of the matter is that this is also reflected in Halacha. The Gemara says over here, you probably know this Gemara, I'm not telling you the Chidusha, it's actually Abed Atam, in Gittin, but it's also the Gemara here. The Gemara said you have to have sirtot. You need etched lines on the when it comes to the Megillah because it says Divrei Shalom ve'emes, and this is a very fundamental aspect of the Megillah, namely that there are. So we say even though you have what seems to be an Igeret, but really you have a Sefer that's very much hidden. It's also an Igeret. It seems to be the narrative seems to be a very natural nature, political intrigue and swashbuckling stuff with Ahasuerus and Haman and Mordechai and Esther and this queen who was beauty pageant. Oh, that is amazing to me. But obviously, from it, we have a sefer of Netzach, of a lot of values that we see over here. I'm talking about the values of the tzniyus of Esther and Mordechai. Atom Esther la'melach b'shem Mordechai v'chazal v'mishnah p'kiyam v'sagamara kalem adav v'shem on the other hand, the boastfulness and the arrogance and the contemptuous behavior of Haman Ahasuerus and his cohorts, the contrast is so unbelievable when you see the tzniyus of Mordechai and Esther in contrast to the gaiva and arrogance and braggadocio of Ahasuerus and Haman. It's also, here you have the Sefer B'toch HaYigeres. I'm talking about the Sefer of Netzach, of such values that are actually imprinted over here. So obviously all the details are very critical, but Hashem remains essentially Kadosh. He remains mufrash. He's hidden. We don't see the Yad Hashem operating here. It's all, almost as I said, the sefer that's hidden b'toch ha'igeres. You have a tznius on the part of Hashem is barach. It's all b'derach ha'teva. As I said, in Mitzrayim, that was not the case. In Mitzrayim, the miracles were so overt. It's unbelievable. The pasuk says, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Hisyatzu, Ru, is Yeshua Hashem, Lochem Hayom. Ki! Asher Yisem is Mitzrayim Hayom, Lo Sosifu, Liroisom, Oit Adilom, Hashem Yilachem Lachem, Vi Atem Tachabishum. I did, a few years ago they had in the Chutzarts, people talk a lot on Shabbos, so the OU declared that one Shabbos of Bishal should be called Shabbat Tachabishum. Everyone's going to be quiet that Shabbos. There's only a key to be quiet, one Shabbos in Tayyim. So I was one Shabbos b'shalach in one of those shuls in Mitzrayim, and I said to myself, I was in a state of, I was marveling. Wow, what a shul I came to! The whole shul is not saying a word. By the way, they had incentives. Don't you worry about it. The kiddush after davening was like a chasada. So fine, okay. Then I arrived, shall we say, in that shul. Another pasha. It was Ayam Benayla. They didn't stop talking for a second. So I said, I don't understand. So I went up to the Rav. He's a very famous Rav. I went up to him and said, how? Ketzad mit yashrod shei parsha dalolu. I came b'shalach, and it was unbelievable. And now I come, and it's also unbelievable, in a different direction. So he said, Tzvei Dinen. He told me, he knows I'm a shekel briska. Tzvei Dinen. That was Shabbos Tachrishon. Otherwise, everything goes as usual. I said, what do you mean as usual? Out of control. That's what he told me. I couldn't get over this man. I was going out of my mind. So we have two approaches that Hashem this Baruch takes. And it's clear the best approach is the, as I said, the approach that operates al pi derech hateva. That's the approach that we see davka in the Megillah. I'll just end by referring to the Gemara Daf Zayin over here, that when Esther requested that the Megillah be canonized, so there was a lot of hesitation. Chazal, when that read, there were two requests, you know. She requested, number one, Kisvuni the Doros. She wants to be written down in Tanakh. And guess what? She wants Purim to be established in the Yom Tov. Kvoni the Doros. So the Gemara said there was a lot of hesitation. But then they had to find the basis in Tanakh for this, including it in, shall we say, Kisvei HaKadosh, and that's the pasuk in B'Shalach. Sov Zos Zikaron B'Sefer, V'Sin Bozne Yeshua, Ki Mocha Emcha Ezecha Amalek, V'Tachas HaShemayim. No, the reason why Esther was included in Kisvei HaKadosh, because there's a fundamental message of Purim, which is that even though there are times when things seem to be bleak, dark, gloomy, overcast, we seem to be, I would say, on the verge of destruction, even the defeat, and what do? We call out to Hashem, Kegli, Kegli, Lama Zaptoni, and what happens at the end of the night? Labatzeach, Aliyel Tashachar, the dawn comes, and Baruch Hashem, the Ribono Shel Olam, the Ata Kadosh, even though he's Mufrash, Yoshev Tehilas Yisrael, Netzach Yisrael, Yishak.